The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon, welcome to the Man in Line's open line through till one. The floor is yours, whatever you want to talk about. Still got some messages to get through that came was the end of yesterday's show, so thank you for those. Lots of people commenting on what happened with the nuisance development yesterday. As in, not going ahead. A message in from Olive, who said, in the middle of all this, you were talking about things not going ahead. Well done to Bushes, who are moving from Mount Murray to Castletown, and not just nipping along, a new tap room, a 90-seat eatery, and they'll be doing beer tours as well, tours around the brewery, which they couldn't do being from Mount Murray, so that'll be another one for the cruisers for a tour, and no doubt lots of merchandise that will be sold. So well done to them. The planning rules seem to be one for all for one and one for another, says Mary. I could never understand how that historic Victorian facade of the old prison on Victoria Road could be demolished without the bat of an eyelid when it had so many possibilities. Of course, to this day, there is nothing on the site of the old prison. And Mary says, and yet a rotten old pear of ugly buildings like the nuisance old building can't be replaced with a beautiful new building for the benefit of all. I'm sure the prison being in government ownership, but nuisance being in the ownership of an entrepreneur wanting to improve the Isle of Man has nothing to do with it, says Mary. Well, that old prison did, I mean, it had bad memories for many people, but it was a gorgeous facade to the old prison. And it really just seemed to disappear, didn't it? Text to 470 cuts right to the heart of this. Now, has anybody noticed, talking of inflation, how much chips have gone up? Chip prices have gone through the roof. No more chips for me. Well, not made by anybody else. Expensive, isn't it, fish and chips nowadays? The Isle of Man is bonkers, says Texter 072. You can pull down 12-year-old flats in Castletown that are in perfect conditions, but not a redundant warehouse in Douglas. And also talking yesterday about the time it takes to get a bank account nowadays, if you want to, particularly a business bank account. The rot set in, says Daphne in Ballajora. When Jack Straw came over, he was a Labour politician 30, 40 years ago. Jack Straw came over and interfered with our company and banking practices. The civil servants and politicians followed UK narratives instead of doing their own research and making decisions that would be good for the Isle of Man. By the way, I took some cash out from my bank account and they charged me £12 for doing it. Daylight robbery, says Daphne. Well, there are certainly hurdles in the way if businesses, new businesses, want to get a bank account sorted out. And often, residents of the Isle of Man try to open another bank account. Seems that some banks can do it fairly quickly, others can't. And you just wonder where the logjam is and what the logjam is. We own the steam packet, says Texter 146, so we should be dictating the costs of freight to support local businesses to bring the cost down of them operating both imported and exported goods. Government's got so many tools in its belt to make the Isle of Man a better place, but either doesn't want to use them or doesn't know how to. Now, Department for Infrastructure shouldn't own the steam packet user agreement. It should sit with the Department for Economic Development, who can use it as a tool to stimulate growth. The DOI is responsible for far too much. And also a message in regarding, I'm just going to get to this now. Oh, it was regarding blue plaques yesterday. I was trying to find out, is there an official way that you can put a blue plaque? Is there a, heaven forbid, a government department that's in charge of blue plaques on the Isle of Man? And where they are, Bee Gees ones, yes. Any other blue plaques on the Isle of Man that celebrate our heritage and famous people from the Isle of Man? We got statues, Bee Gees, George Formby, we got Norman, but any more blue plaques? Howard's on now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Just listening to you, what you were saying about Newsom's. Well, I'm getting quite old now, but I remember that building, and it was always known as Newsom's. It was never that placed on the quay. And, you know, it's sad that now these people are trying their best to renovate it and keep it standing, that they've been kicked in the teeth. But when you look around Douglas, just a little further along the road, along next to St. Matthew's Church, there was another building there where they supported the inside of that. I think it was the Farmer's Combine, not sure. And it's still standing, and it was a restaurant afterwards. But for all intents and purposes, viewing it from the harbour, either side of the harbour, that building, for all intents and purposes, was still original. And you move further into Strand Street, the old Strand Cinema. The frontage is there on TK Maxx.
Yes, yeah.
And further along the promenade, you come to the Crescent with it, and that is due shortly to be renovated again. Although it is under preservation, they will have to retain it. But I mean, I think they're going to clean it and do some work on it. But and then looking up above you, we've got the Fulton Cliff. And that was quite literally dropped inside, supported all around inside, and then rebuilt. And if you come along the promenade or even in by boat, you still see that and you still think it's the Fulton Cliff, as it was then, a pub, hotel.
And also, I mean, hats off to the people, because that didn't come cheap. And it's still, remember, they light that every night. I mean, it's up there in the sky, almost like a ghostly wraith.
Because, it is.
And it looks fantastic, you know. They could quite easily turn that light off. They're obviously paying for
it. Oh, yes.
And Douglas Promenade would lose something for the Fulton Cliff not being illuminated.
Yeah. And a lot of people probably won't remember it, but the, oh Lord, I've forgotten the name of it now, the pub right at the bottom of Broadway, where that
the Central.
Magical roundabout. Which one did you say?
The Central.
That's the one. John Redpath used to have that, and part of that was demolished inside, yet the actual building, the superstructure outside, was retained. So why was this not possible with the Newsom site? Is there somebody within the planning system was vehemently opposed to this, and no matter what happened, they were never going to get these plans through? I've got sympathy with the company who they were going to do the work on it. Because it's going to, it has been for a long time now, just a derelict site. The same as the one on the opposite side. They were going to do wonders over there.
It would just be interesting now if the people who oppose that have got something up their sleeve. If they just say, yes, we can't have that, but you can have this.
Those people don't.
I suspect that, yes, we know what they're against. We just don't know what they're for.
Well, it's like lots of things. People oppose them, but they don't have Plan B. Plan A, it disappears into the long grass, the ether, and there's no Plan B with these people. They object to everything just because it's there and because somebody else wants to do something with it. And I can remember that warehouse in there, because I used to go down and get all sorts of Newsoms. They were a well-established company on the island, and the place was semi-derelict even inside then. So to get it into apartments and have people living in Douglas like they used to, instead of all on the outskirts and building on greenfield sites, they can have them living back in Douglas. All above the shops in Strand Street, there was accommodation, and people actually lived in the town.
Yeah.
And this is what, these people coming up with a 15-minute city That was already here.
Yeah.
50, 100 years ago.
While we're here, you can tell me how I'm pondering this in my brain, but what's now the Barbary Coast by Barbary Coast, the three pubs in a row, the Clarendon, the Douglas, and what was the other one?
Well, the oldest pub on the island is the British, apparently. Starting from the other end, there was the Saddle, the Bridge, the British, the Clarendon,
yeah,
the Douglas, and...
That's the one I'm stuck on, the Clarendon and the British and the other one.
Well, the Clarendon, I think, was reduced to rubble, and it's where the Barbary Coast is. And yeah, had many a pint in there. It was a good pub.
And the other ones, one used to be a pet food shop, didn't it, in the end?
Well, that was the Isle of Man Farmers.
Right.
That was the Isle of Man Farmers. And that was on the corner. And then the Clary was on the backside of that, where you would walk around to where the Barbary Coast is. And that was all part of the Douglas. But gradually, there were 57 pubs in Douglas at one time. And, I visited quite a lot of them. But the various places where there were old buildings that have quietly been renovated and remain as such, and people don't know about these. And I'm afraid a lot of the people that's coming into government are from the UK, and their idea of everything is just like what was the Villiers Hotel, etc. Knock it down and put a big glass greenhouse up, and there's no character to them. You can go anywhere. You walk through Strand Street now, and you might as well walk through any town in the UK. There's nothing. But look above the windows. Then you'll see where the people had thought and how they designed these buildings. And that's old Douglas.
Okay. All right. Appreciate that, Howard. Thanks for calling.
Take care. Bye now.
Good to hear from you. So what was that other pub then? The Clarendon, the Douglas, and the other one. Brian's on now. Hi, Brian.
Wasn't the Albion, was it?
Was it? No, I don't think it was. I can't remember.
Yeah, I used to go. Peter and the Clary was a regular of mine. Anyway, I agree with everything that Howard had to say there, but I'd add a little bit to that before I start. Up in Onchan, we've got the Housedrake or the Rembrandt site, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. I remember it burning down when I was a child. I watched it from my home in Royal Avenue burning away. It was a three-story building. When I was on the commissioners, I saw three applications that I recommended for approval for that site. Wasn't approved by the rest of the board, and objectors have put in their objections time and time again. 10 years more down the line, there's a site there that's an absolute abject mess, while there's need in Onchan for that kind of housing that's been proposed. Springfield Court, Haywood Court are the only two elderly person complexes in the Onchan district. And because I've got more than they deem necessary money, I can't even apply. I can't go onto the list at any cost. So that's a bit of an annoyance to me. We could have had something there that would have offered people of advancing years like myself, now on my own, I might have liked one of those units. Anyway, that's not what I come on for.
Okay.
And I apologize to everybody for rabbiting again. I'll be as brief as possible with this. I listened to Teresa Cope in part, the interview, and I was quite shocked, really, because she put a very glossy spin on our health service on the Isle of Man. And I applaud her if she's endeavouring to create the best health service in the world. And she said how wonderful she was doing in all these areas, how improvements have been made and efficiencies have been made. And what a glorious outlook for our health service. But then she shot herself in the foot. Now, I don't condone anybody being abusive at any time, particularly to members of staff of organisations who have very little control over whatever it is that they're operating. But she said the Isle of Man was appalling because so many people are abusive to staff. She's never experienced this anywhere else in the world. Well, Teresa, all I can say to you is, do you not correlate the fact that you're not performing as well as you might to the number of complaints and irate people that you are experiencing? Our health service is an appalling mess. I've had personal experience, even down to getting a dentist. Text message to say, your appointment's been cancelled, you haven't got a dentist anymore. That was over a year ago. I've spent most of my life struggling to get a dentist. But when it comes to the other side of the coin, we've got these stupid questionnaires going out after you've been speaking to your GP. Were you satisfied with the customer? Did your GP listen to you? And all this guff. Well, of course they did. Where we need to improve is where we're sending an elderly person, perhaps, as I experienced, a lady in her 80s, getting dumped at the airport in Liverpool and not being given any assistance. She'd gone away for a procedure and there's nobody to help her or assist her, or in her case there wasn't. But more importantly, if you are being sent away, you have to make all the arrangements. There's nobody that brings this whole thing together to make sure that people who are vulnerable, perhaps elderly, and certainly not well, are helped through the system. They're just, you need to get in touch and make an appointment in Liverpool. You need to make an appointment or book yourself a flight. And these things, there should be some ability there to coordinate all of that. Plus the fact that a close friend of mine recently was diagnosed with cancer, and it was precancerous, stage one. The first correspondence that she received had urgent four times on an A4 sheet, and quickly seven times mentioned on that one piece of paper. She was stage three, late stage three, when they finally got her to receive some treatment. So, yeah, there is room for an awful lot of improvement within the health service. And if you want to make a real improvement quickly, almost instantly, put some comfortable chairs in the waiting room at A&E, because it's appalling having to sit there on a plastic chair that's buckling under your backside for hours on end.
Brian, at the bottom of all this, I mean, let's accept that health services around the world, and certainly in Western Europe, are struggling for personnel. They're going here, there, and everywhere. The Isle of Man certainly has changed because we've built the brand new hospital and what have you. A lot of people are now getting private dental work, so a lot of the dentists are going where the money is. So who's going to cut this kind of knot? Who's going to break the deadlock and do something about this? Thank you, Brian. Let's go to Wilf, who's with us now. Hi, Wilf.
Hiya. I haven't got anything very interesting. The stamina's pretty short. But it's just something I had on yesterday, which was Barclays Bank. Sorry, not Barclays Bank, but any bank.
Yeah.
That you couldn't get, you're trying to get business done. Well, I was in Barclays Bank for 60 years with a business account. And, of course, with your business account, any checks or anything else that you're doing there, there's a charge for it. And my charges were between, per month, £35 up to 50-odd quid per month I was giving them. Now, when I retired, I said, right, I want to do away with that one now. Just give me an ordinary account. And, well, we don't know, can we do that? I said, what do you mean you don't know, can you do it? I just want an ordinary account, so it's the same as anybody coming new and wanting an ordinary account. How can we do it? So they said, oh, we get a consultant down from Douglas. And I thought, well, what's all this about? Anyway, the woman wanted to read me account my teeth to see what was there, what number was my car. But anyway, they ended up, they couldn't do it. They wouldn't give me an account. So I went across the road to Lloyd's, and they welcomed me with open arms.
So what was
whatsoever.
What was the reason then? You'd had a business account for years. You wanted to close that and open a personal one.
Yeah, well, I think the reason was because they weren't going to get any money out of it.
Oh, I see.
As simple as that.
Right.
But you also had Beastie Dovey on. I know Beastie very, very well. And she's a very clever woman. And people should listen to what she says. Now, she was on about getting rid of plastic and all the rest of it. I've had a card the same as her from when they give cards out. Never used it for anything. Was thinking, actually, well, I did have two. The first one, from Barclays, and I cut that up and threw that in the bin. Because I'm a cash man, always have been. Being a scrap man, what else can you be? You've got to carry cash all the time. And I still carry cash. Because if I see something that I want to buy or look at, I think I'll buy it straight away. And when you're offer cash for something, you'd always get it cheaper. Anyway, Beastie said carry cash all the time, and I always have done. Now, the other little thing was, or a big thing, whatever you call it, last Sunday before last, with big tides and wild weather, and I was in Waxy. And I went to have a look on the quay where I normally park my car. I wouldn't dare park it there. There was three cars there, and normally it's full. There were three cars there, and the road was covered in stones, and that's why there wasn't any cars there. So I parked mine around the corner. Now, if people would have listened to me and took stones away, they would not be on the promenade anymore. It's as simple as that.
Okay. All right. Appreciate that, Will. Thanks for calling today.
Okay. All right.
Good to hear from you. Oh, by the way, if you bank with Barclays, I don't know whether this might interest you. In the UK, Barclays are thinking of imposing a cash deposit limit. In that Barclays are looking to impose a maximum £20,000 a year deposit limit. You can't put more than £20,000 cash into a Barclays account. Now, whether that's going to happen in the Isle of Man, don't know, but certainly, as Wilf mentioned, if you're in that sort of business, anything that's a cash-heavy business when you're dealing with the public, so, and certainly the scrap man would imagine, Wilf will take more than £20,000 in cash for scrap, but Barclays may not be handling that in the future. Anyway, different. Nigel's on now. Hi, Nigel.
Hi, how are you? Cruise ship business is just round the corner and we're all busy, so that's good.
Jolly good.
But that's not what I'm on about. I just want to put one little bit in this jigsaw about Newsons on the Quay and Howard was right.
Yeah.
I'm the couple that I'm on tour with at the moment, they've just gone for a wander and I've got 2 or 3 minutes, so I'm going to be fairly quick because they're going to come back to the vehicle. But I was invited by the owner of that property to have a cup of tea with him about 2 years ago because he'd heard me a number of occasions on the Man in Line and he obviously knew that I was quite happy to be open speaking. I knew a few people and he was quite interested in the way I talked to you and about other politicians and other people on the radio. So he tracked me down and he invited me out to the property and he said and he explained to me what he was trying to do with Newsons on the Quay and he said, could you please, because you seem to know a lot of people, where am I going wrong? And he explained everything to me and he'd done everything. He'd dot the I's, he'd crossed the T's on everything possible of what he could do to make that business and that property successful, what he was going to do. So I said, leave it with him. I did a bit of research. I went back to him. All I want to say is whatever that gentleman wants to do with that property, and I'm telling you now, if he stuck £10 million on that table, they still wouldn't give him planning permission. Don't ask me why, and I don't know why, but the poor chap, he came across, he's got a lovely property, he wanted to invest. If that was successful, he was going to invest more in the Isle of Man, and this was 2 years ago. He was very upset about he was getting no help from anybody in direction, specifically planning. As soon as he went to planning, there was a barrier up against him, and I know a lot of other people that have moved to the Isle of Man with a lot of money and want to invest and have always got a brick wall. And it's been going on for years and years and years. And my wife's a good Manx lady. All right, I'm from across, but I just cannot understand the mentality of why these people are not given the opportunity to invest their money here in the Isle of Man and to push the Isle of Man forward. He's a great guy, and I'm baffled with the whole thing. But whatever that man wanted to do with that thing, he will never get. And I am not surprised he's done what he's done.
Okay, I appreciate that, Nigel. Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Good to hear from you. I got a note in from, it was Sheeny yesterday, wasn't it? And Dillis says, will you please do these 25 petrol stations in Douglas? It's true. Douglas used to, I went through the 67 public gents lavatories. There were 67 public loos, and now, and of course far fewer nowadays, and there were 25 petrol stations at any one time in Douglas. Feel free to fill in the gaps if I've got them wrong, and thanks to David Downey, who knows about all this stuff. The Tiger Tim in Peveril Square, Salisbury Garage in Fort Street, E.B. Christians, Turntable North Quay, E.B. Christians at the Stonebridge, the Brown Bobby on Peel Road, the Milestone on Peel Road, Jeff Duke on the Peel Road, the Wessex Garage, Alexandra Drive, Brayhill Garage at Brayhill, Scott's Garage on Victoria Road, Swift's, formerly the VW agent at Derby Square, Christian's Derby Square, Woodville Terrace End, Fox Garage in the lane at the top of Derby Road on the left, Finchill Motors on Westmoreland Road. These all sold petrol. Island Garages on Domain Road, Happy Days Motors on Westmoreland Road, Davis Garage on Westmoreland Road, Quayle's Garage at the end of Timwell Street, I'm trying to picture that, Farragher's and Ashton Garage on Westmoreland Road, Athol Garage on Hill Street, Gilbert Harding, Backstrand Street, Shimmins Garage on Queen's Prom, Island Garage on Peel Road, Corlett's Garage on St. George's Street, and Central Motors on Circular Road. There were 25 petrol stations once upon a time in Douglas. Any more for any more? Tommy's on now. Hi, Tommy.
Oh, Andy, all right, mate?
Good, thanks.
Did you get the pub, did you?
No, I didn't. So there's the Clarendon and the Douglas. What was the other one?
Well, the one that we used to get on, I'm still thinking of the name, but we use it as a pickup for St. George's, their football team, when we played away games. I mean, nobody had cars in those days, Andy, so we all had to make our way down to the pub that I can't even think the name of.
Yeah, and, it's not the Albion. The Albion's now the Rovers' return, isn't it?
Oh, no, that was that used to be Jack Connell's at one time, back really back in the day, yeah. Andy, at the back of the old fire station.
Right, so you can't help me then. You can't help me. What was the three in a row next to the Legion? There were three pubs in a row, the Douglas Hotel, the Clarendon, and what was the other one?
Well, there was one further down in Baxter. It was the Wheat Sheaf.
The Wheat Sheaf? Where was that?
It was on the corner of Fort Street.
I think I'm not mistaken, was it the one with all the clocks? It had all the clocks all over the place, Andy. But the one where we used to, further around the corner, I can't think of the name. When you say you used to meet at the pub before you went to play football, you didn't have a drink before you went to play football, did you?
Well, it wasn't unknown, Andy, I put it like that.
All right.
It depended on the first day, it was a rather long wait, Andy, and it got a bit boring sometimes.
All right. All right, Tommy, thanks for calling. Good to hear from you.
Thanks,
all right, so 25 to 1. Perhaps Kell Properties might feel it appropriate to gift the nuisance buildings to the Treasury to bolster government assets. Kell Properties could have a gift clause that should the property be developed, ownership should be returned to them. Government would then find it difficult to refuse an asset gift, says Southern Andy. Maybe they could give it to the Manx Development Corporation. You never know. The latest rumour in the queue at the post office this morning that all the government-owned brownfield sites are being mothballed until just before the next election, then sold on the cheap. Is that true? Fran, you must tell me where you get this information. It is skied. We put that under a big 10-foot light flashing sign, Mark Skeet. When the prison got demolished super quick, as did Park Road, why was there such a rush to pull these places down? Was there a few quid to be made? What was the outcome of relaxing the work permits in February? We haven't had any evidence, even anecdotal evidence, about the relaxing of the work permits. There is a blue plaque at the end of Athol Street in that small garden dedicated to Archibald Knox, who lived in the house that was there, says Peter. And the oldest pub on the Isle of Man is the Mitre in Kirkmichael, says Texter 432. We know a lot of these places. In fact, lots of people know lots of things about the Isle of Man, famous people who used to live here, who perhaps were born here. But if you didn't know it, you go to lots of places and there are plaques to say so and so lived here, this is what happened here, you know, this is the oldest tree or what have you. They've eventually put up a sign now at the back of W.H. Smith to show the old sea wall that was there. But really, the fact that the Isle of Man is knee-deep in history, you kind of don't see it if you walk along the street. I think Douglas Development Corporation have put some signs around Douglas, fairly close type, I have to say, but there are some signs just to say what was where. But it's interesting. Here's a little tip for you. In Victoria Street, there's Starbucks. You know Starbucks, the coffee place? Used to be Burton's, didn't it? Hence, used to be a ballroom right at the top, which was a bit of a jive club at one time, and I think is now they do exams in there. But Burton's, it was part of Burton's business model that they always had a ballroom where the Burton's were, so it would attract a dance school and then people would buy nice clothes and go and dance there. If you look at pavement level on that Starbucks building now, what used to be Burton's, you will see a small plaque that said this property was opened by Montague Burton. Monty Burton, you know the full Monty? The man who brought that sort of tailoring, high street tailoring. Now, that in itself is worth a bit of attention, because there aren't many of those, and Starbucks, which was Burton's before, and of course it was a bookshop in the Interregnum, and I think they sold furniture there at one time, but it was owned by Montague Burton, and that's something we don't have a lot of on the Isle of Man. And as we're getting lots of cruise liners in, it might be nice to showcase our history. How many people do you think, how many visitors do you think see the statue of Robin Barry and Morris and say, I didn't know the Bee Gees were born in the Isle of Man? We know it. And we have to thank Bernie Quayle for that. Bernie argued that black was white. Many people thought the Bee Gees were from Manchester. Bernie knew, and Bernie made it part of his life's work to bang the drum for the Isle of Man and the Bee Gees. But lots of people simply don't. There's lots of things we can tell people about. Now, who knows the answer? Is it Bob?
Yeah.
Who's this? Who knows the answer? Oh, it's Boz. Sorry. Hi, Boz.
No, Bob.
Oh, it's Bob.
The two pubs you're on about, Andy, is the Albert and the Market. You walk through from the Clary.
Yeah.
And you came to the Market and the Albert. They're together.
They're the ones at the back of it that come off Market Hill. I'm talking about the ones that used to be on the quay. There was the Douglas and the Clarendon, and there was one next to that, and I can't remember what it was called.
On the quay?
Yeah, on the quay. Do you remember? Now it's called the Barbary Coast. It's a sort of grill where they serve steak and what have you. But there used to be three pubs in a row there.
Oh, God. I know what you mean. Right on the corner.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, God. Not the Clarendon.
Yeah, one was the Clarendon, one was the Douglas. What was the other one called?
Now you've got me.
Oh, there we are. But thanks for the Albert anyway. We appreciate that.
They're the two together on the front. And you walk through the from the Clarendon, the two together. The Market and the Albert.
Okay, thanks for that. Good to hear from you. Bob, nice to hear from you. There were quite a lot of pubs on Strand Street at one time or another. Nowadays, you struggle, really. Sam Webb's at the end and O'Donnell's. But really, that's just about it. Now, some people say that's a good thing. Other people don't.
Chain, there's no chain. The chain's jumped off the sprocket.
Motorcycle racing is back this Sunday on the Derby Airfield for the Andreas Racing Association's meeting. Under-16s get in free. Adults are £6. There's full facilities. Come and see us trackside.
Step into Office World, the island's largest fully stocked stationery store, where there's over 5,000 items on display to take away. From pens, paper, inks and toners to general stationery, adhesives and batteries. You can get what you need right now from Office World. With all the big brands, including Pilot, Pentel, Sellotape, Duracell, Gorilla, Puckerpads, and more. Office World is conveniently located on Spring Valley Industrial Estate, with easy parking right outside the door.
Office World! I love to drive!
Drive smarter. Drive more reliable. Drive a great deal at Manin Motors. With a superb range of cars for every budget, always available. And if we don't have it, we'll source it. Plus, servicing, valeting and prestige detailing too. Manin Motors, Richmond Hill, Douglas. Find us on Facebook or call 420-420. That's 420-420. Drive a better bargain at Manin Motors.
Have you visited Talbot & Son's new home yet? After more than 30 years in Derby Square, we've moved to Snugborough Trading Estate with stunning new blind and curtain displays, inspiring ideas and the latest technology for your home, along with the same friendly family-run service and expertise you know and love. Visit talbots.im to find out more and come and see us soon.
Journey to a Dream, the podcast that takes you behind the handlebars of motorcycle racing's ultimate challenge, roads on the Isle of Man.
I didn't realise normal people could race motorbikes. I thought it was something on TV or for superheroes.
From the thrill of the speed to the allure of the island's mystique, join me, Beth Espy, as we unravel the passion that drives these riders to push the limits.
Childhood dream, you know, is something I've always wanted from since being a kid.
Journey to a Dream, available now at manxradio.com or your usual podcast provider.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Mary said, was it the Theatre Royal? No, it wasn't. Was it the Britannia? The Clarendon, the Douglas and the other one. The pubs you're looking for, not the Albert and the Market, that's at the back of the Legion, isn't it? There is a blue plaque for Murray Lambdon, the athlete, on Douglas Promenade opposite the Sefton, says Stan. It's not the Manx Legion. Thanks for that. And also thanks to Mary, who just, this is Mary 754. Why don't they sack all the planning board and start again? Some of the committee are obviously holding the Isle of Man back. And Bonzo's on now. Hi, Bonzo.
Hi, yes. Just joining in on famous people and things on the Isle of Man that really tourists should know about. Oh, gosh, there's tons and tons of them. I mean, first off, did you know that the woman who was the model for Wonder Woman actually came from the Isle of Man?
Really?
Yes, she was. She was in Douglas. I think the family lived on Strathallan and Terrace. They then immigrated to America. She got a degree. She met her husband, who was the bloke who drew Wonder Woman, at university, and so that transpired. So I think a statue of her at the other end of the, you know, Strathallan, by the Termy or something. I think that would bookend the old statues quite well.
I just find it amazing, and because, as you say, there's no shortage of people. There's so many people who've been from the Isle of Man and have gone to far corners of the earth and have done so many things, and you kind of wouldn't know it. So there's no, if you like, informative tourism for people who just, and for people who live on the island.
Well, quite. I mean, like another Douglas connection, Douglas Bader. Douglas Bader, the limbless RAF Battle of Britain pilot.
Oh, reach for the sky and all that.
Yes, he was called Douglas because that's where he was conceived. I'm not quite sure whether it's at the Villiers, but I'd have to go and check.
All right.
But yes, that is why it's called Douglas. We also, of course, had lots of other people who actually came to live here. There's a house in Mackold, which used to be lived in by J.P. Dunleavy, the Irish author. Who wrote The Onion Eater.
Yeah.
And of course, that we had, there was the chap who wrote the Flashman books, but I can't remember what his name is just offhand. But down south, of course, we had members of Nazareth, who I think lived in Castletown, and members of Smokey, who lived in Port Erin, including the member of Smokey who wrote Living Next Door to Alice.
Wow.
Apparently. And of course, in Port St. Mary, we had Molly Sugden living here for a time.
My word.
But not her bridesmaid.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Bonzo.
Okay, cheers. Bye.
Good to hear from you. 14 minutes before one. Famous people we should commemorate from the Isle and get some plaques up so we can wander around and find out who the famous people are. I've tried to put an FOI request to government for the cost of staff travel, says Jim. On the steam packet, the cost of staff travel that they paid in 2024 compared with what they paid in 2001. The answer I got back is that the steam packet isn't a public company, so they don't have to give answers to this. They're not FOIable. I recently travelled across to Heysham, and a member of staff told me they paid £5 a journey foot passenger and £10 for a car plus one. In 2001, my pal, who's retired now, told me that he paid £5 as a foot passenger and £10 with a car. So 2001, £5 for a foot passenger, £10 for a car plus one. 2024, same. So can anybody get the steam packet to answer a simple question? We as the public pay... just £15 as a foot passenger and £90 for a car in 2001. In 2024, it's £60 as a foot passenger and over £300 for a car. Inflation has hit our deals, but not as far as the staff travel is concerned. So can we find out from the steam packet what it is, what staff travel? I mean, nobody's knocking the fact that the staff get a deal and a perk where this is concerned, and I don't know how many they're allowed to have per year, but it certainly hasn't gone up. If those figures are true from Jim, it certainly hasn't gone up. I have on my screen a message from the owner of Kell Properties. And the owner of Kell Properties says, Kell Mann is the company. As the owner of Kell Mann, the owner of the ex-nuisance building, and this is absolutely from the horse's mouth, Kell Mann will donate the nuisance building free of charge to the government if they can develop it. The government can have the nuisance building free of charge. Bakshi, nothing to pay. And that's from the owner of Nuisance. That's what they say. It's the wheat sheaf on the... Oh, the wheat sheaf was on the corner of Ridgeway... Of course it was, the corner of Ridgeway Street and Lord Street, wasn't it? We're sure there were only two pubs there. The Douglas Pub, which was double-fronted and had a big function room on the right and the bar on the left, and the Clarendon next to it at the end of the block of buildings was something which changed its name in the 90s. Was it the Buzz Zone or something? I think it was called something like that. Thank you for that. The Clarendon... Well, it was the Buzz Factory, that was it. Thank you for WhatsApp us 943. According to the site below, the Clarendon and the Alaman farmers were on the right-hand side and were demolished. And I've been scrolling back through my photos because I'm sure I took photos of it when they were about to knock it down. Talking of famous people and famous people we should commemorate on the Isle of Man, maybe people that, if you like, maybe perhaps you, but certainly people visiting the Isle of Man who don't know that we're famous for more than, just Norman Wisdom and the Bee Gees now. Obviously, Thomas the Tank Engine. The Reverend W. Audrey visited the Isle of Man, and that's where the Isle of Sodor comes from in Thomas the Tank Engine. There's nothing really, apart from a couple of commemorative trains on the steam trains, that Thomas the Tank Engine was partly created because of the Isle of Man, the RNLI. We have a statue of William Hillary just down from us on Douglas Head, but there's nothing. I mean, William Hillary's grave is in St. George's. Obviously, we've got George Formby, Norman Wisdom. Radio Caroline was here for 3-4 years in the 1960s. The Bee Gees, we've got the TT. We're going on forever with the TT, wouldn't you? But Nigel Neal. Nigel Neal, the man who wrote Quatermass. Hall Caine. At the turn of the last century, Hall Caine was the biggest selling author in the world. Florrie Ford, one of the biggest music hall artists, who had some of the big hits in the First War. Are you talking about girl power? Ivy Benson. She preceded the Spice Girls by years, 60-odd years. Ivy Benson. Not only that, but of course, you're talking of big bands, Joe Loss and the great Ronnie Aldridge and the Squadronaires, Ronnie Aldridge. Doyen of the Easy Listening set in America. They loved Ronnie Aldridge and his two pianos. And here's one I'm going to throw at you. You probably never heard of Donald Tear. Born in the Isle of Man, died in the Isle of Man. He died in January 1979. He was one of the most experienced pathologists in Britain. Donald Tear published the first modern description of hypertrophic cardiomyopathy in 1958. Today, this disease is considered the leading cause of sudden cardiac death in young athletes, which we're all familiar with. 1958, Donald Tear, Manxman, wrote it. He was considered one of the greatest leaders of autopsies in the world. Donald, in 1967, he supervised the autopsy of the Beatles manager, Brian Epstein. In 1970, he supervised the autopsy of Jimi Hendrix. In 1973, he was in Kowloon and carried out the autopsy on Bruce Lee. He retired in 1975 and died on the 17th of January 1979 in the Isle of Man. He was just 67 years of age. If you're familiar with Donald Tear, I'd love to know more about Donald Tear.
When the man in line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
This Saturday, Manx Radio is live at the new H&H Motorcycle Store on South Key Industrial Estate in Douglas. They have everything you need, from bikes, clothing and accessories to service, repairs and tyres. We'll be talking to the guys about their full range of race and casual motorcycle clothing. But even better, come along on Saturday morning, as there are many great offers on the day and lots of prizes to be won. H&H Motorcycles at South Key Industrial Estate, Douglas, for a browse, a coffee and a chat, live on the Lifestyle Furniture Saturday Social this Saturday from 10:30. The Nation Station.
Radio. The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio.
And don't forget, whatever you do, next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, the government is there. And they want to hear from you. Next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, listening to you, the Chief Minister and members of COMIN will be at schools across the Isle of Man. Perhaps this is the time to go and ask them pertinent questions. If it's something that's bothering you, then you can have a chat. Go to manxradio.com, click on community, on the What's Ons, all the details of the Listening to You get-togethers next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday with Alfred Cannon and the ministers from the Council of Ministers. That's it. Thanks to Chris Quirk on the phone today. Thanks for calling in. Good to have you along. Back tomorrow at high noon.
WINT. 60 years serving you as the nation station. This is Manx Radio.
Kelly's Eye, brought to you by Ellis Brown Architects.
Peter, what's Kelly's eye looking at today?
Today I'm looking at weep holes.
Weep holes. Well, unless they are little gaps in the brickwork, I don't know what you're talking about.
You do know, because that's what they are. There we are, above those windows at first floor level. They've got what they call soldier arches. In other words, the bricks are standing up on edge, and it's been done decoratively. So instead of just the lintel of that brickwork, it runs right across as a band. Yeah. This is over an entrance. There's 2, 4, 6 windows, which are red in colour, and beneath it is this continuous section of doors with automatic doors that slide two sets of them. Two flags, one with the three legs on, and the other with an investors in people flag. Don't see many of those. And then written across in Times Roman, I think it is, it says the Isle of Man College.
Which used to be the College of Further Education, didn't it?
It did, and in fact it still is in reality.
Yeah. Now this building has been here for some time. It's not ancient. It's not ancient.
Hello,
place
this is
of
Dunfer.
Education, but it would date back, my guess is to somewhere in the 60s, but it may be more recent than that.
I think work started in 1969, and phase one is the bit on our right, the sort of plain and angular bit, and as far as I know was complete by 72. And Ken Roberts, who had been the principal down at Hanover Street, probably get told off for calling it that, at the Hanover Street School, became the principal up here, because if you recall they amalgamated the then College of Further Education with the art school,
yes.
And it all became part and parcel. And there was an area up at the top, I don't know if it's still there, where each year you'd see the apprentice having built a little brick wall, and then in the summer holidays it gets knocked down, and then next year's apprentice has built it up again.
Many of the most iconic buildings around the island have been designed by Ellis Brown Architects. Keep up with Ellis Brown today on Facebook or via ellisbrown.im.
Part of Island Life for 60 years. This is your Manx Radio.